Thank you for listening to the Grace Church Sermon Podcast. We hope you hear in today's message the love Christ has for you. As an Episcopal church, Grace has deep roots in the Anglican tradition, while also seeking to be a fresh and vibrant expression of this sacramental liturgical faith. We hope through the ministry of Grace Church, you will not only know the truth that God's love is for everyone, really no exceptions, but that you would also live out that truth in your life. Visit us online at www.graceyukon.org for service times and information about our ministries.
Jesus, let me be what you make of me while you be what I love. Amen. Well, friends, some of you might have seen in the news over this last year that there is a groundbreaking for a new homeland on Northeast 23rd Street here in our Oklahoma City Metro. This week, this last week, they celebrated the BEAM signing for that event, and Mayor Holt was there. There's a big social media kind of publicity about that, and I'm sure it was on the local news. Was that on the local news? You bet. Okay. A big deal for our metro community. It's opening September 1st, and this is a much-awaited grocery store in that area. It's a store for the community with subsidized prices on fresh fruit and produce. It's bringing options for healthy food to an area that has been a food desert for many years in our metro. Now, if you are like me, I have 6 grocery stores within a mile of my house. And so if you're like me and have an abundance of grocery stores, you might not think about what a food desert is very much. You might not realize that there's pockets in every major city across our country where people have to drive 20 minutes to I guess if you live out in the country, you're probably thinking, yeah, I do that all the time. But if you live in the city, there's places in the city that you have to drive like 20 minutes to get to a grocery store. You might not think about how much of an impact that has on a community, especially if transportation is not easily accessible to your household. And I don't just mean like there are no affordable options. I mean like there are no options available other than things like 7-Eleven and fast food restaurants. That's what a food desert is. And it's that access that is so important to the physical health and the nourishment of a community. Economics, of course, drives how many grocery stores get put in what neighborhood, in what particular areas. But when the economics are influenced by historic systems of injustice, like the redlining that was done in Oklahoma City over a period of decades, well, then the solution has to be more than just the free market. It takes community involvement. It takes some public-private partnership to overcome that kind of generational poverty that exists because of racist policies from decades ago that perpetuated and ran their course. And so this opening of this grocery store is a big deal in our metro, and I'm really pleased to see that going in and really excited for that community. So I was reflecting a lot about food and its impact on our physical health this week. And so I couldn't help but start thinking, especially in light of our gospel reading this morning, about spiritual health. And just like healthy food is really important for physical health, healthy spiritual food is really important for spiritual health. And so I started to wonder, how many spiritual food deserts are there in our country? I wonder how many people are undernourished with good news. How many people are fed fast food religion? Often we hear Christians kind of opine about secularism and how people don't go to church the ways that they used to, but my bigger concern is whether churches have actually contributed to that problem and whether the problem is that churches are offering spiritual junk food. Sometimes spiritual junk food is the stuff that gets consumed and it seems good at first until you look at the ingredients and then you realize that it doesn't really have the nourishment that you need to really bring out that transformation into the likeness of Christ. Or sometimes it doesn't taste good, but it's just the only option you have. And that's the nature of a food desert, and likewise for a spiritual food desert. I was listening this week to our presiding bishop reflecting about John chapter 6, this whole chapter of the first portion of which we read this morning. And he said that the question, Michael Curry said that the question that comes to mind for him with John chapter 6 is this. He says, how is it that God is trying to feed the world, not with fast food, but on the gourmet food that gives life? And that question stuck out to me, and then I started to add to it a little bit. How is it not just that God is trying to feed the world, but how is the church doing at partnering with what God is up to in the world? Are we helping with the distribution? And that's what's been on my mind this week. Now, over the next couple weeks, we're going to be in John chapter 6 in the lectionary, which is the kind of tract of readings that the Episcopal Church follows. And so we're going to hear a lot more about Jesus, the bread of life, these coming weeks. And this whole chapter is full of lots of biblical references and images from the Old Testament. It reminds us, when we start thinking about them, just what an amazing author and theologian John, the gospel writer, is. Our Wednesday night discipleship group in 2019, we spent like 4 or 5 months in John's gospel, just kind of moving slowly through it. And like we could spend a couple weeks in that just on John chapter 6. But I just want to pull a couple details for you today in this 15-minute sermon so that you can hang on to those threads without us getting into two hours worth of biblical images. But I just want to point out a couple things that happen in those first verses of our reading today, because John gives us some really beautiful details that are meant to stick out to us. In the first couple verses of chapter 6, we hear about Jesus crossing the sea. We hear about the mighty signs of Jesus that people had heard about. We hear that we are near the Passover and that Jesus is going up a mountain. These are all really important details, all important echoes of Moses, who led the people of Israel out of slavery in Egypt way back in the beginning of the Bible in the book of Exodus. With mighty signs, they crossed over the Red Sea. It was the first Passover. God had heard the cries of the oppressed. He had heard the cries of his people. And through this Exodus, God would lead them to freedom. It was not a short trip because of some free will that was at play. After Moses came down the mountain with the Ten Commandments, the Israelites had chosen some other paths. And so that path through the wilderness ended up being 40 years. But through it, God led them faithfully, and God fed them both spiritually and physically with manna from heaven. Now, likewise, today, we see Jesus give bread to the hungry. He ascends this mountain at Passover, and then he cares for his beloved. John adds all these details because he doesn't want us to miss the big picture of the Bible and how God is at work in this story of Jesus. All these signs and wonders Jesus has done, all these teachings that he's doing and is about to do, all that is leading up through his life to his death and resurrection. Jesus, like Moses before him, is leading God's people to freedom, to a new way of being, but not just as a prophet, but as God in the flesh. That manna from heaven in the book of Exodus kind of appears all over the ground, and the people take it and eat it. But here, the manna from heaven is a little bit different. Here in our reading, Jesus looks around. He sees the great need of the crowd around him, and then he distributes the bread personally until all are fed and satisfied. This is a personal encounter with Jesus, a personal encounter with God, who is reaching out and touching those in need and saying, "I see you, and I am here with you." In case anybody misses it, in case anyone misses that God is at work in Jesus, John tags on this beautiful scene on the end of this feeding of Jesus walking on the water at night with the rough seas and the disciples starting to get scared. They look out and they see Jesus and he says, "Don't be afraid, it is I." In the Greek, for "it is I," ego ami, is that same "I am" in the Greek that John uses throughout his gospel to say, "I am the resurrection, I am the way, the truth, and the life." And that "I am" is the same "I am" that Moses heard from that burning bush when God found him in that moment and said, "I am who I am." Don't miss it, John is telling us. Don't miss that in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus, that God is redeeming his people. This is a new exodus, a new freedom into a new way of being. In Christ, God is reshaping his people through love, through connection with God, through forgiveness and reconciliation. Jesus is giving them this gourmet bread that truly nourishes them and changes them from the inside out so that they and so that we can be more like Jesus. Our letter to the Ephesians contains a beautiful prayer that I think shows us so well what this gourmet meal of God is about. Paul prays that the Ephesians would be strengthened in their inner being through the power of the Holy Spirit, and that Christ would dwell in their hearts, and that they would be rooted and grounded in love and have the power to comprehend the breadth and the length and the height and the depth of the love of Christ. How beautiful is that? That is the good stuff, friends. Anything else is junk food. Nourishing, transforming, life-giving faith is rooted in love. The life of faith and an authentic relationship with God starts with knowing that God loves you, that God's love is for you, and that no one is an exception to this, that you are not an exception to this. It doesn't mean that we're all perfect. Quite the opposite. It means that even though we are each flawed, even though we have our broken places, even though we have our rough edges, in Jesus, God loves us and loves and through love wants to bring us to this place of healing and wholeness where we can truly thrive. Through love, Christ is feeding us and transforming us to be all that God intends us to be. Now, sometimes that transforming love is hard work for us. Each of us is a work in progress, but it is rooted and grounded in love. Never forget that. Now, spiritual junk food might tell you that you aren't good enough for God for whatever reason. And fast food religion might tell you that, well, you're fine just the way you are. Just, keep going. But the gourmet meal through which God wants to feed the world is saying, I love you, I bless you, and I will help you grow and mature into everything I intend for you. And then I will invite you to help me help others, to be a love-spreading difference in this world, to make sure that others have access to good news, to the soul food, so that there are no desert places. You, church, are given this bread of life, and then you're called to share it. What a humbling and terrifying calling that we have as the church, right? With so much need in the world, we could look around and say, where are we to buy enough bread to meet all this need? We might say, what difference can I possibly make in this world? I got you covered, Jesus says. Bring what you have and it will be enough. All you have is fragments. Bring them. Gather the fragments, Jesus says. He said that. Gather the fragments, gather the broken pieces, gather the broken people, those who feel left out and left over, gather them here, that nothing may be lost and nothing wasted, Jesus said. And I'll use everything and everyone. The gourmet meal that God has given is enough to feed the world. Do you believe that? It is rooted and grounded in love. Do you believe that? It nourishes the soul, the mind, the body. This love is broad and long and high and deep. It surpasses all understanding. It fills us with the fullness of God that passes all understanding. Do you believe that? Because this meal is for you, friends. No exceptions. God is feeding the world. God is feeding you with that love that is the bread of heaven. You are being made a new creation, formed as part of a new people called the church. Being rooted and grounded in love, you are made to be a love spreader and a difference maker, to give this bread of love and of life, this soul food, to everyone you meet until there are no desert places. Here in worship today, I hope you experience God, who says, Ego a mi, I am here. And then, as our post-communion prayer says, I pray that we would each be sent forth to do the work he has given us to do, to love and serve as faithful witnesses of Christ our Lord. Amen.